just come and say, greet us and we get to know you better, then we go into the world.
I'm very happy to be here. I greet you all in Jesus' name.
I'm called Brother Andrew Kisidikana. From DRC Congo.
So
God has really blessed us. God bless you.
Good evening, brethren. My name is Maria Theophilus. I'm from several countries. I started from Nigeria. Then to DRC.
Then to Congo.
And now I am here in Uganda.
Okay. Your names again.
That's Biri.
My name is Sister Biri Yai.
You know, yesterday we had a wonderful meeting in Chivoke. And we came to that if someone asks your name, then he can know where you are coming from. But I think it's not with us. Amen. Yeah. Another sister.
Good evening,
brethren.
I am Geraldine from Sierra Leone, now in DRC.
This is Uganda.
Okay, I work in DRC and I am in Uganda.
So last time when I went to Lagos, we met on the way, and we met in Port Harcourt. We had a wonderful fellowship with her and her husband. I think now the rest you know them. So, Brother Chijoke.
Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you again. And we bless you. Glorify your name. For the opportunity you've given to us to know you and to call upon your name. We bless you for being present in our midst, and for the opportunity you are giving to us to know you, to come into a deeper relationship with you. And we pray that your spirit will fall upon every one of us this evening. We pray that the eyes of our understanding might be enlightened, that we might know the reality of relationship with you. we ask you to come in our midst to break the bread of life to us. We ask, Lord, that you will impart your life unto us. Even that which will cause a total revolution. We just bless you for this opportunity. We just bless you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. I just want to read a few scriptures before Brother Bot comes. Acts chapter 2. Verse 22. It says, "Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as you yourselves also know." I thought you were going to be reading. Okay, all right. Verse 23. "Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holding of it. For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover, also my flesh shall rest in hope." Verse 27. "Because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither will thou suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulchre is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him, that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he will raise up Christ to sit on his throne. He, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus had God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses." So stop past, yes. Stop at 32, yes. 22 to 32, yes.
Abasajja ba Isirayiri, muwulire ebigambo bino. Yesu Omunazaaleesi, omuntu eyalagibwa Katonda mu bigambo eby'amaanyi n'ebyamagero n'obubonero, ne Katonda be yamukozanga wakati mu mmwe, nga mmwe bwe mumanyi. Oyo bwe yaweebwayo nga Katonda bwe yasooka okuteesa n'okumanya, mutwala ne mumukomerera n'emikono gy'abantu ababiri ne mumutta. Naye oyo Katonda yamuzuukiza bwe yamusumulula okulumwa okufa, kubanga tekwayinza kumunyweza. Kubanga Dawudi amwogerako nti, "Nalaba Mukama ennaku zonna mu maaso gange, kubanga ali ku mukono gwange ogwa ddyo neme okusaga sagana omutima gwange tegwava gwesiima olulimi lwange nelusanyuka era n'omubiri gwange gunaabeeranga mu ssuubi kubanga tolindeka bulamu gwange mu magombe so toli wali mutukuvu wo kuvunda olwabika omunaana wandigiriza amakubo ag'obulamu olinjijuza essanyu n'amaaso go abasajja abooluganda nyinza okwogerera n'obuvumu mu maaso gammwe ebya jjajjaffe omukulu Dawudi nti yafa n'aziikibwa n'amalalo ge gaali waffe ne kaakano kale bwe yali nabbi bwe yamanya nga Katonda yamulayirira ekirayiro nti bazzukulu ab'omutumbeeze alituuzaako omuntu ku ntebe ye bwe yalaba olubereberye n'ayogera okuzuukira kwa Kristo nga teyalekerwa mu magombe so nga n'omubiri gwe tegwafunda Yesu oyo Katonda yamuzuukiza ffennaffe tuli bajulirwa.
Okay. Just put your finger there and let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I'm reading from verse 6. It says, howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. Which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. It says, but I had not seen, for as it is written, I had not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God had prepared for them that love him. Hallelujah. Then in verse 10 it says, but God hath revealed those things unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Let me read verse 10 again. He said, but God has revealed, verse 9, unto us, them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Verse 11 says, for what man knoweth the things of a man save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Verse 12. Now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. With things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual.
Si mu bigambo amagezi g'abantu bye gayigiriza wabula omwoyo gayigiriza
But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. We are living in an age when God can no longer take excuses from us. That is, you and I, we can no longer hide behind empty excuses. Because the scripture says that we can know the things of God. And there is a difference between the wisdom of the world and then the wisdom of God. The wisdom of the world brings you into religion. Where you are involved in the business of God. And this is the problem of ministers. Because we so often confuse the wisdom of the world from the wisdom of God. And we are living in a time when God is visiting His church. And He's giving every one of us an opportunity to know the wisdom of God. There is impression in the church that we cannot know the mind of God. Which is false. Because this scripture says, but we have the mind of Christ. I want to tell you that God is bringing the church to a point when we can know the mind of God. Where you can hear God. Where you can relate with God. And that is what the scripture is talking about here. In talking about the natural man and the spiritual man. The natural man can be a bishop. He can even be a pope. He can be a pastor. He can be anything. That doesn't really bother God. But God is looking for a people that will know Him. A spiritual man. A spiritual man is a man that operates by the revelation of the Spirit of God. Paul said somewhere in 1 Corinthians 14. Paul said, if I come to you, if I'm ministering to you, that I will minister to you by revelation, by knowledge, by doctrine. In the scheme or in the plan of God, those who are spiritual operate by revelation. The revelation of the Spirit. And that is what this scripture in Corinthians is telling us about the natural man and about the spiritual man. And it begins to talk about the revelation that comes to the spirit of the natural man. It talks about the ministry that comes from the Spirit of God to the spirit of man. The scripture says that there is a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty brings understanding to it. And the church has come to the point where we are beginning to go beyond the natural. And when we begin to go beyond the natural, we begin to understand ourselves. We're understanding that the church of God is not just the four walls or the buildings of the house. We are beginning to appreciate that the church of God means something different according to the scripture. That Paul says that I am the temple of the living God. That I am the house of God. And that God is going to be made flesh in his house. That the plan of God is that God will come and live in his house. That this plan of God, this house of God, will not be empty. And we are come as we go come towards the end of, you know, as we get into the end of time, the reality of God coming to dwell in this house becomes very real to us. And I want to tell you as leaders that we must make a choice to continue or to be involved in church business, in church politics, in all the activities in the church which God is not interested in. God has a house. He says, thy kingdom come. God wants to come to his house. He wants to come to his house. He wants to live in his house. That is what is important to God. And God is looking for a people that will have the same mind with him. That will be so minded to understand that the word of God is being made flesh. The kingdom of God is coming down. He says, go and preach that the kingdom of God is at hand. The rule of God, the presence of God, the dwelling of God in man is at hand. And the scripture says that anyone that has this hope must purify himself. That is, there is a responsibility on you to make yourself ready. If you have this hope, then you must make a response to God. You will realize that you have a responsibility to make yourself ready. Because the house of God must be cleaned. Remember, he went into the temple. He says, you know, he went there, he saw people who are, you know, who are selling doves, money changing, doing all kinds of things in the house of God. Which is similar to what you find today. A lot of business, activities, religion, politics in the house of God. And the Bible said that he drove them away. He turned away their tables. And that should be an indication to us regarding how he is looking at what is happening in the church today. That God wants a house. I want you to know that that is the most important thing to God. God said, why do you leave the house of God to lie waste when we are all building our own sealed houses? So God is raising a body. He said, a body has thou prepared for me. And it is a spiritual body. If you look at Revelation, from chapter 20, 21, 22, The Bible says the kingdom of God was coming down. He saw the holy city coming down. I want you to know that God is coming down to you. God is coming down to you. And if God is coming to you, God is coming to visit you. He wants to be real to you. He wants to have a relationship with you. It means the door is open. It means the door is open to come into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ in a way that is real. In a way that the things of God will begin to be clear to us. Where we will begin to hear God talk to us. Where we can talk to God. Where we can begin to know the mind of God. Where we can begin to understand the plan of God for the church and for all and for our lives personally. Now, if we go back to Acts chapter 2, it was talking of the resurrection of Christ. Peter, when he was preaching, talked about the resurrection of Christ. Resurrection is something that is real. Resurrection is not what we were taught in the past. All the things that have to do with Easter Sunday and Easter Monday and Good Friday and all those stories. Because in the book of John, the Bible says, Jesus said, I am the resurrection. Resurrection is a person. Resurrection is a reality. It's not a historical fact. It's something that you walk into, you experience. And resurrection is what God is bringing the church into. And that is something that the church must be experiencing. Life. Resurrection speaks of life. Going from death unto life. Going from darkness to light. Breaking through the barriers of traditions. You know, yesterday, you know, he was telling you, we learned so much about traditions yesterday. In Duamata, we learn so much about traditions. Okay, the sister is laughing. Amen. Resurrection is breaking through traditions. Breaking through traditions. Breaking through the family idols and the family gods and the totems. You know, you can do all the crusade you want. You can do all the night vigils you want. You can do all the praying in the night or doing all the activities in the church that you want. The church must address darkness. The darkness that is within man and the darkness that is in your environment. If you are not doing that, I'm sorry to inform you that you are just wasting time. You're just warming your bench. You're just wasting time. You might as well go home. Because you do not count to God. Because Jesus brought resurrection to us. He brought light to us. If you are not experiencing light within your soul, and if the people around you are not experiencing the light of God because of your testimony of Christ, then you are not on God's side. And for a long time, we have been involved in church business. And church business is good business. It pays very well. It can give you a suit to wear. It can give you dresses to put on. It can give you food to eat. Give you a respectable place in society as a pastor or bishop. People can even respect you because of church business. I'm not talking about that. Because in East Africa and in West Africa, church is business. Pastor is a profession, just like doctor is a profession. So you can choose to be a pastor as a profession, or as a lawyer as a profession, or as a teacher as a profession. I'm not even talking about that. I'm talking about life. I'm talking about light. We're talking about resurrection. We're talking about the revelation of Jesus Christ to your spirit and to your soul. And we're talking about a change. That Christ means God with you. You see, you will call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. That is his name. That is why God brought him. That God is being made flesh. I want you to understand that. That there are two men. The first Adam. The second Adam. In both of them, the word of God was made flesh. And the people that will follow Christ must also experience God in themselves. God is in the business of coming to dwell in you. You are the temple of God. That is church. Man was born in darkness. Man was born into darkness. And that's why you said in Acts chapter 2:31 that I know that you will not leave my soul in hell or suffer your Holy One to see corruption. When any son of Adam comes into the world, he comes into the realm of darkness. Now, this is something that is not common in the church, because the church does not operate at the level of darkness or at the level of light. But I want you to know that the first picture of the church or of the world is darkness. In Genesis chapter 2, is it not so? In the beginning was the word. In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. The deep speaks of the soul of man. The nature of man. And the church, we are involved in church, in building schools, in television programs, in orphanage, in universities. We are doing NGO work, we are taking care of the sick. We take care of the poor. Very, very good. All these things are very good. But we have left the most important. The most important business of the church is to address the nature of the soul of man. And that nature is darkness. That man has a nature of darkness. Darkness has different dimensions. Darkness has, there are different spirits that operate in the realm of darkness. And darkness had authority, received authority over the soul of man when Adam sinned. God, in the process of God creating Adam, God said, either you will have the likeness of God. You will have the image of God. Who can tell me the image and the likeness of God? The scripture says, your Bible says, that God is light. And in him is no darkness at all. The nature of God is light. So if God made you or wants to make you in his likeness, then you must have a nature of light. Hallelujah. To go from darkness to light is called resurrection. Hallelujah. And the Bible says that when we become born again, we begin the process of going from darkness into light. Hallelujah.
Amen.
That is the business of the church. To address darkness. So if you are going to address darkness, where would you begin? Where is the darkness? The Bible says that the judgment must start where? From the very house. And who is the house of God? Now, those of us who are leaders in the church, we have our own programs. What is our program? To build a builder church, a bigger church. To have the biggest church in Kampala. To make sure that our church is well organized. While ushers, we are wearing a particular type of dress. We have choir that they are very, very good. God bless you, my sisters. Amen. To have a youth program. We have a youth department. We have a mother's department. We have a father's department. We have a welfare committee. We have a music director. Then you have a session that gets the American visa for you. When you come to our church, you get American visa. Amen. If you are a successful church in Kampala, many of your members will get American visa. Amen. The business of God, you are not talking about it. And that is to prepare the people in the church to know how to overcome the darkness in their soul. To know how to affect the darkness in the community. That one, nobody is interested in it. Because it will involve spiritual warfare. It will involve praying and seeking God. So it is unpopular. But those are the things that God is speaking about. The hidden wisdom of God. And he said that eye had not seen, ear has not heard, neither has even entered into the heart of man what God has provided for his people. I know many of us will have stopped at that verse, but I want to invite you to move on to verse 10, where he said that those things are being revealed to us by his Spirit. God is bringing those things he has prepared and making it available for us. Hallelujah. You can know. You can know the mind of God. You can know the plan of God. And those are the things that you need to bring to the attention of the brethren, so that they will begin to grow in the knowledge of God. Their soul will grow in the knowledge of God. What does it mean to grow in the knowledge of God? The Bible says that we all with an open face beholding the glory of the Lord, I transformed. I changed. From the nature of darkness to the nature of light. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So we all with our open face, that we are changed from glory to glory. That there must be a change in your soul. When we say change in the soul, we are talking about your mind. How do you think? We are talking about your emotions. What do you do with your emotions? With your desires? With your will? Your personality? Is it being changed? From the personality of Uganda to that of Christ. So that means your personality is made up of your culture, the way you live, the way you do things. Is Christ affecting your nature? Is Christ affecting your culture? Is there a change? Is there a change in the brethren? Hallelujah. When you look at them, can you say these are Christians? They are different from Ugandans. That is a crisis in the church. Because the people of God are still the crisis. The problem in the church. So you come to the church, you find babies. Babies. They are 40 years carrying Bible, sitting down. They used to sit down at the back of the church. Now they are sitting in front. They are still babies. Hallelujah. They have specialized in drinking milk. A man who is 40 years in Christ is still drinking milk. When you begin to talk about the deep things of God, you say, no, I want to go to heaven. I want to make heaven. All these deep things, I just want to make heaven. My ambition is to make heaven. So you find in the church babies. Some of them are bishops and pastors and archbishops and apostles. Big titles. Babies. Their spirit is still dry. Hallelujah. But God wants to change our story. God wants to change our experience. Amen. That will no longer continue to be babies. Because the scripture says, I will make a new covenant. The new covenant, he said, I will put my law where? In you, in the temple. Hallelujah. I will write my law in the inner part. I want you to understand that there's a difference between the old and the new. The old is very easy. Just go and hire a hall in a Kampala City Hotel. Get one big man who works in somewhere to pay for the rent. You hire a music director. You hire a youth pastor. You paint the hall very special color. You go to the bank and loan some money. You begin to advertise and make noise. You get a miracle worker to blow people and push them down. And you have the biggest church in Kampala. You have youth programs. And you talk about singles night and, lovers night. That is Old Testament. And that is church business. Amen. But we are not interested in that. You should not be interested in that. You should be interested in that which is dealing with the soul. That is the New Testament. And you cannot get involved in that unless you have that revelation that there is a problem with the soul of man. Hallelujah.
Amen.
When Adam sinned against God, his soul died. His spirit also died. His body also died. Adam had three problems. In his soul, in his body, and his spirit. These three things Adam had a problem with. And those are the things that must be addressed by the church. Amen. Whatever activity you are involved in that is not addressing these three things, then you are involved in church business. And that is what we were talking about in Acts chapter 3, chapter 2. It was talking about the resurrection of Christ. That he will not leave his soul in hell. He is saying that the soul is in hell. Hallelujah. I'm sure you are wondering, why is this man telling us that the soul is in hell? When Adam sinned against God in Genesis 3, God said he put everything in this dimension called the earth. He told him, dust you are, and to dust you remain. I don't know if you understand that. God told him, dust you are, you are going down to the dust. He put him in a prison called earth. I want you to know that man is in a prison. Hallelujah. He is in a prison called the earth. It is a place of lawlessness. It is a place of darkness. It is a place of disease. It is a place of sickness. It is a place of pain. Hallelujah. There's a little bit of joy. But of course, that's what Adam chose. Adam chose goodness and evil. Adam chose that place of mixture, of having some happiness and some pain. Hallelujah. The life of the natural man is the life of good and evil mixed together. And it is a life of darkness. Good and evil mixed together, what is it? It's darkness. In life, you are happy, isn't it also? But there's a lot of pain. Hallelujah. That is the life of the natural man. It's different from the life of God. In the life of God, there is no pain. There is no sickness. There is no disease. Hallelujah. He says, I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. God wanted Adam to come to that place of life. Adam chose darkness. So darkness entered into his soul. Darkness took over the nature of Adam. And God told him, the day you do it, you will die. And in dying, you will continue to die. So Adam was disconnected from God. His spirit was disconnected from God. His soul couldn't receive life from God anymore. And his body began to decay. That is the problem of man. A music director cannot solve it. Evening tight, afternoon tight, night tight cannot solve it. The church business cannot address it. What will address it is for men to have the revelation of Christ. For the light of God to come into the soul of man. We need to make men understand how they can relate back to God. How can my spirit be connected back to God? How can my soul begin to receive life from God? How can my body be transformed? The scripture talks about the adoption of the soul. Sorry, the adoption of the body, the transformation of the soul, and the quickening of the spirit. Man must come into resurrection. Must come into life. Hallelujah. And that's how the blood of Jesus is given. When the blood of Jesus comes, it's like that breath of life that came to Adam. Because the blood has the life. The blood of Jesus has the life of God. So when you say you are born again, what do you mean? You have received the life of God. And that life comes to quicken you. Take you from the place of darkness. And bring you into the kingdom of life. To open the eyes. You begin to see the kingdom of God. You begin to hear God. You begin to feel the presence of God. You become aware of the reality of God. That is just the beginning. You are just seeing. You have not yet entered. You have not been planted. You have not been made a pillar in the kingdom of God. That is the business of the church. To bring men into the kingdom. It's not when they will come in today, tomorrow they go out. So you make them to be pillars. He says, to him that overcometh, I will make him a pillar. To be made a pillar means you come to the point where you are in constant touch with God. Your soul, your mind is restored to its original situation. Hallelujah. So the scriptures talk about the resurrection of Christ. We're not talking about miracles. To heal a man's leg, and the man goes to hell. You heal the man's leg, and he cannot hear from God. We are looking about the miracle of the soul. We are the man who is dead to God becomes excited by the things of God. Where you feel the reality of God. Where you talk to God and God talks to you. Where you are being fed by the life of God himself. The Bible said that man shall not live by bread alone, but by that life that comes from God. That's how Adam was feeding from God. God was just pouring himself into Adam. Hallelujah. God was pouring himself into Adam. There was a river that was flowing out of God. You see that river in Revelation 21 and 22. So that river was coming from the throne of God. Flowing down. Hallelujah. That is the economy of God. It's better than chapati. Or matoki. Hallelujah. There is a life that we can experience. And that is what God is talking of. The resurrection of Christ. Where the spirit of man is quickened. Where the soul is transformed. And where the body will be adopted into the glorious liberty of the sons of God. The Son of God walked on the earth physically. The life of God walked in a man physically. As an example, that you and I can also walk in that situation. So the church must have an ambition to follow in his steps. Where Jesus walked, we must walk. The things that Jesus overcame, we also must also overcome. So we are talking about darkness. The nature of darkness. And John says that man's nature is the nature of darkness. In John 3:18, he said that For man loves that darkness. And the deeds of man are that of darkness. So when you begin to walk in the light, then a change begins to come to your soul. And the scripture says that we are children of the light, that we should reprove the unfruitful works of darkness. So I'd like to encourage you to look again at your Christian walk. What is your focus? In your church, where are you going? What is your target? Are you patterning your church after some big church you have seen on television? Or are you following Christ? If you are following Christ, then you will know you have to deal with darkness. And the darkness is within the heart. It's within the soul. And to understand that we can come to that place of change, where we are changing from glory to glory. So I just want to stop at this point by way of introduction because I know there are some people who are more prepared than myself to sit there about this story of darkness. Hallelujah. I want you to know that we are about to change. The story of man is about to change. Hallelujah. Very soon we will have men who have overcome darkness. Amen. Very soon we will have men who are beginning to experience something new. You have a new man on the earth. Hallelujah. We are not going to be distracted by church business. Amen. We will not be distracted by church business. And we are going to be interested in the business of God. And we are going to go to God. We will go to God. Say, God, begin with me. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done in me. Say, thy kingdom come on earth. Thy will be done on earth as it is done in heaven. Say, God, as it relates to me, your will must be done in my life. And you are talking about your mind. You are talking about your emotion. Every part of you, say, God, your will must be done in me. Those are the new men that God is raising. Amen. And God will begin to bring them together in fellowship. Amen. But when they come together, he said, iron will sharpen iron. They will encourage themselves to begin to rise in God. Hallelujah. That is the fellowship that God is talking of. We have had a lot of miracles. And we are not tired of miracles. But God will still do miracles. Hallelujah. Your life will be a miracle. Every day testimonies will follow you. But you are not distracted by those testimonies. That's not what I want. We are saying, God, that's not what we want. We want your kingdom here. We want your will to be done here. I want to overcome the darkness within my soul. That's our focus is clear. We cannot be distracted by the devil. That is the new priesthood that God is raising. And we will understand what it means to be present on the earth. That even though we are born in whatever country, that we come from a new country. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Brother Bot.
all these wires. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Very, very happy to be here in Kampala. This is my first time to Uganda. I trust it won't be my last. I don't know, it depends on the will of God. It is my first time to Uganda, but it is not my first time to Africa. I have been coming to Africa since 1981. All these brothers and sisters that are with me, they are a lot older now. But they were just young people when we started coming to Nigeria. Praise the Lord. And it is a real blessing to me personally to see them actively involved in the Word of God, bringing the gospel of the kingdom, their fire and zeal that pushes them is something to see and to praise the Lord for. So praise God. Hallelujah. We live in a very critical time because the time frame we live in is, in essence, the end of time. And there are certain events that have to take place at the end of time. And one of those events that is going to happen, the Bible calls it the day or the time of great tribulation. Hallelujah. Brother, do you have to stand way over there, or can you move over here a little bit? Praise the Lord. That way I feel connected. Praise the Lord. I want to be connected. Not only with heaven, but I want to be connected with the body of Christ. The Bible says that in the end time, in the last days, there is coming great tribulation. Now the world has seen a lot of tribulation. You may have read it in your newspaper, you may have seen it on your TVs, or you may have heard it on the radio. Or you may have even experienced it, because there has been a lot of tribulation in Africa. Terrible times and horrible things. But the Bible says that that tribulation, as bad as it was, as terrible as it was, will not be able to compare with the tribulation that is coming upon the earth. Hallelujah. Now the church has told its people that they would do not need to worry about tribulation, because when tribulation comes, God's going to do some miraculous thing and pull the church out of it. It's called the doctrine of rapture, but it is a lie. And the reason why I call it a lie is because there is not one place in the Bible where God has ever raptured His people. Hello, are you there? Not one place. On the contrary, his people have always been incarcerated. They have been beaten. They have been crucified. They have been slaughtered like sheep. Hallelujah. Never once have they ever been raptured. Hallelujah. And with the tribulation that is coming now, it isn't that God wants you slaughtered like sheep, but God wants to bring you to a place of understanding that you could have within you the ability to overcome that tribulation that is moving to destroy you. Did you hear me? The problem is, we do not seem to realize or understand the plan or the purpose of God. Hallelujah. You know, if a man comes up and smacks me and knocks me down, I have a decision to make. I can either lay on the ground and hope that he will go away, or I can find the tenacity or the strength or the ability in God to get up on my feet. Hallelujah. And as long as I move in that frame of mind, I cannot be beaten. Hallelujah. Did you hear me? Hallelujah. It doesn't mean the man won't hit me again. But if I have the determination to get up, and I will not allow the pain or the fear of the thing that is happening to persuade me to stay on the ground. Hallelujah. I cannot be beaten. Hallelujah. You cannot be beaten. Hallelujah. And it is in the mind of God that we should not be beaten, but that we should overcome. 7 times in the book of Revelation, as the message of God was coming to the church, there was a promise that God made to the church. It was, he that overcometh. And there are 7 levels of overcoming. Hallelujah. There are 7 messages to the church. And those 7 messages to the church are individual message to each or individual churches. But there are an administration or a word that God is bringing to one church. And the condition that was in the church, in each one of those churches, is an area of overcoming that the church of God has to overcome. 7 levels. Hallelujah. Did you? 7 is the number of perfection in the economy of God. You know that numbers in your Bible, they mean something. 1 is the number of God. 2 is the number of witness. 3 is the number of fullness. 4 is the number of tribulation. 5 is the number of grace. 6 is the number of man. 7 is the number of perfection. Hallelujah. There is a message in all of it that God is wanting to speak to you. If you have a heart that desires Him. And therein lies the key. It is what you desire. Do you want a little bit of God in the midst of a whole lot of world? Hallelujah. And that desiring of whatever it is that you want can be many different things on many different levels in many different categories. But unless we desire God more than what we desire those things, we will end up at the end of the day losers, and part of those that will be slaughtered. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Can you say amen? Praise the Lord. Or maybe oh me. Or oh my. Hallelujah.
Amen.
There is only one reason that God created man, and one reason alone. Hallelujah.
Amen.
One reason alone. And that reason was not that man might get into heaven. Everybody wants to get into heaven. I don't want to get into heaven. Uh-oh.
Amen.
I don't want to get into heaven. My Bible doesn't tell me that I have to go to heaven. That's not what my Bible says. It's not what your Bible says. What the Bible says is that heaven has to come down inside of you. The church is trying to get to heaven. I have a secret to tell you. They're not going to make it. I'm sorry to disappoint you. But heaven is not a place that is out there far away in some celestial place. Hallelujah. God never created you to take you out of what He created. Hallelujah. Because what He created for your benefit. And when He created it, He gave it to you. Do you hear me? Hallelujah. He gave it to you. Because we have the blessing of what was blessed to Adam. In Adam, we have that blessing. And you know what? Your Ugandan Bible says the same thing as my Bible says. I checked it out. Hallelujah. Genesis chapter 1. And then God said, "Let us make man." And how should we make him? Let us make him in our image. Hallelujah. You are created not by the fact of your Ugandan heritage. You are created in the image of God. Now, God doesn't have arms to speak of, feet to speak of, head to speak of, in the natural sense.
Huh?
But it says that it because it says God can be many things. Hallelujah. But it also says that God is a spirit. And they that worship Him must worship Him how? In spirit and in truth. Now you can be worshiping in spirit, but if you're not worshiping in truth of the reality of the calling and the election that is upon you as an individual, the reality of what it is that you were created for, the fact that you even exist, the truth of it, then you are not worshiping God. You are to worship Him in spirit and in truth. Hallelujah. But what we do know about God is His triuneness. The Trinity, the three parts of His being. We call Him God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Three separate entities, yet they are one. Praise the Lord. And God, when He created us in His image, He created us as a three-part being. Hallelujah. You have three distinct parts. Hallelujah. You have a spirit, you have a soul, and you have a body. Hallelujah. So when we talk about the image of God, we're talking about the composite makeup of the spiritual aspect of our being. Hallelujah! And you know something, you're very unique. God created many things. God created angels. We cannot even comprehend the magnitude of the power of one of these beings. Hallelujah. Michael, Gabriel, hallelujah. These mighty angels, their power and their ability, we have no comprehension. Hallelujah. And then God created many things that we see. But you are unique. There is not another creation that God created that is like unto thee. Not one creation. Hallelujah. And you are so unique in your creation and in the thought and the mind of God when He created man, that He gave to you and I the dominion of everything He created. What a God. Hallelujah. You see, God was not looking at the moment of the time that He was created. God was looking down. He was looking down through the corridors of time. He was seeing Abraham. He was seeing Isaac. He was seeing Noah. He was seeing James and John and Peter. Hallelujah! Glory to God! And He was seeing you! Hallelujah! So, in the beginning, when He created man, in the mind of God, He was creating something a little lower. Did you hear that? A little lower than the angel. Hallelujah. Can you imagine? I just want you to get the mental picture in your mind. God coming down into the earth. Hallelujah. All heaven around him, looking over his shoulder, so to speak. Hallelujah. He's down there forming something in the dirt of this ground. My God. Wondering what is God doing? What is he doing? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And he forms and he shapes it and he makes it into the quality of what it is that he wants. Hallelujah. You know, it says that the angels wanted to know. Hallelujah. What was going on in the mind of God? Did you hear me? My God. Hallelujah. Brethren, he was not just forming and fashioning Adam. God is eternal. God is Alpha. God is Omega. And when he was fashioning Adam, he was fashioning the form of the man that would stand before God in the last days. Hallelujah! He saw you, and he saw you, and he saw you, and he saw you. He saw you, and you, and you. Hallelujah! Saw the reality of his likeness in you. Hallelujah. Working down there. Hallelujah. And finally he gets it to the place that he wants it to be. And it says that he breathed. He breathed. God came out of God. Hiya. Hiya. God came out of God and entered into that form of dirt and clay, rock and stone and minerals. Hallelujah. I believe, brother, there was a major earthquake. I believe that the earth began to shake and crack. Loose, 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 loose. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I believe an earthquake happened. My God. Hallelujah. And when that man rose up, I believe heaven shouted. My God. Heaven shouted. Hallelujah. When you can get confronted by God. Hallelujah. When you meet God as your Savior, and there is a breath that comes out of heaven. Did you hear me? That breath comes out of heaven and it smites your soul. Glory to God. Glory to God. There is an earthquake. Hallelujah. And you are born again. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And you stand up. Hallelujah. Out of the composite makeup of your Adam, fallen nature. Hallelujah. My God. Another son is born. Loose. And it says that heaven rejoices. Do you think that heaven rejoices just because you're born again? They rejoice because they are on the verge
of seeing the culmination of God come forth in a fullness of what he had in his mind when he created Adam. Hallelujah. We were not born to get into heaven. God wants to come down. God wants to come down in your soul. God wants to come down in his glory. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Oh, come back to that on a man. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 Devil doesn't want you to know this. Devil doesn't want you to think about this. Devil wants you to believe that you are human. It says that when God breathed into man, man became a living soul. Living soul! Hallelujah. That means he was part of God. Because outside of God, nothing can live. Hallelujah. Outside of God, nothing can survive. Hallelujah. But just being born again wasn't enough to complete or give you and I the ability to do or to be what God wants us to be. What is it that God wants of you? What is it that God wants of me? God wants sons. God don't want Christians. God don't want church. God wants sons. Hallelujah. God wants sons. John chapter 1. To them that believe upon his name, gave he them. Did you hear me? Them. Gave he them power. It's an explosive power. Hallelujah. It said powered with energy and life and the ability to change something. Hallelujah. Was that power to heal you? Was that power to prophesy? Was that power just to make you a good Christian? What was the power? What was the power? The power to become the children, the sons of God. Hallelujah. Anything outside of that? Is a diversion. Anything outside of that?
Sorry?
Anything outside of that? Is a diversion. It is a deception. Because what God wanted in the beginning was for you and I to be like him. Hallelujah. Now I am told that in the Bible, in your Ugandan Bible, that phrase that says to be like him means like a photograph. But in the Hebrew, I'm not satisfied with being a Ugandan photograph. Hallelujah. I want the Hebrew meaning. I want want the Hebrew reality, which says, I can be like God. I didn't say that I become God. God is God. God will always be God. Hallelujah. But if he wants me to be his son, if he wants me to be like him, why should I not walk? Follow in his footsteps to be like him. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. That means if I want to follow Paul, I have to know Christ. If I follow Paul and I don't know Christ, when Paul takes a left or a right turn and I take a left or a right turn, hallelujah, I become like Paul and not like Christ. Created us to live up here. Did you hear? God wants our head in the clouds and our feet on the ground. Hallelujah! Head in the clouds. Head in the clouds. Feet on the ground. In that position, in that condition, then the word that was spoke to Joshua is a word that is my word. He says, everywhere you place the sole of your foot, I will give it to you as an inheritance. Yes. Did you hear me? I have to have my head in the clouds. I have to be in tune with my head that is in the clouds. How else can I be seated in heavenly places? Did you ever think of that? Everybody wants to sit on the right hand of God. But if I'm on the right hand of God, and brother wants to be on the right hand of God, there's a problem. Hallelujah. Two can't be in the same place at the same time. Hallelujah. If I want to be seated in heavenly places, hallelujah, then I have to be one with the head. Hallelujah. When I am one with the head, then brother and I can sit together as one in that body that's seated there at his right hand. Please. Hallelujah. One of the things that the devil decided to do, he had a board meeting with his church members.
Sorry?
He had a board meeting with his church members. And he said, let us denominationalize. Let us denominational it. We will make Baptists. We will make Methodists. We will make Presbyterian. We will make Anglican. We will make Episcopal. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. To denomination means you divide Christ. That is the definition of denomination. To divide Christ.
Sorry.
To divide Christ. To divide God. You know what the theology of hell is? Divide. Conquer. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Divide. Conquer. Why is it so hard for me to be in tune with my brother? Hallelujah. Is it because the skin color is different? Is it because our nationalities are different? Hallelujah. Or is it because of a lie that the devil knows that if I join with my brother, hallelujah, if one can put 1,000 to flight, two can put 10,000 to flight, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. But there is a requirement that is upon me. Hallelujah. I cannot love the world and love God at the same time. I cannot love God and a little bit of the world at the same time. I must love one and cleave to it. Did you hear it? Cleave. Cleave means that you are glued together. Hallelujah. And whatever comes to try to shake you, to pull you apart, you will not allow it to happen. Did you hear me? You will not allow it to happen. Somebody comes to you and they tell something in your ear, and it's something bad about sister. Hallelujah. And you hear it. And you maybe say, well, that's not true. But it sits there and it festers. And it begins to work in your mind. And the devil comes and starts replaying situations and circumstances. And pretty soon you're divided. And you are subjugated to a spirit of division. Divide. Conquer. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I think it was Julius Caesar who perfected, hallelujah, the strategy of war of dividing and conquering. You're out here somewhere and you're by yourself.
Sorry.
You're out here somewhere.
And
you're by yourself.
No way, no border.
You have a relationship with God. You're baptized in the Holy Spirit. But let's say you're walking down a dark road. And a group of men come up behind you and they start following you. Hallelujah. And your mind begins to turn over. And you begin to think of all the scenarios. What happened? What happened? Fear. Fear. Fear begins to rise up out of the darkness in your soul. Hallelujah. Fear begins to separate you from your confidence in God. Fear begins to work to isolate you and make you doubt the existence of God's ability to protect you. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! And fear generates into action. You break into running. And as you are running, they start to run after you. And the fear goes from fear to terror. Hallelujah! Dragging you down into this pit of captivity. Hallelujah! My God. We don't know God. Do you know that if you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, that God has come inside of your spirit? God in His triuneness has come down in your spirit. The Almighty, the Omnipotent, the Omnipresent, the Omnipotent God is in your spirit. Hallelujah! And but sometimes the only thing we use Him for is to shout and clap and roll around on the floor. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! When you begin to do things in this, what you think is in the spirit, I want to ask you something. With the Almighty Shekinah El Shaddai, do what you're doing. Please. Hallelujah. When I have Him in my soul, in my spirit, and I look to lust upon a woman, or I lie, or I go into a place that I should not go into, I'm taking God in there with me. I'm subjecting God to all of the filth and the contamination. God help us to understand why we don't have the power. We're not allowing that spirit, it's in our spirit, to come down into our soul and begin to change us. Do you hear it? Change me. He has to change me from being a son of Adam to a son of God. He has to change me from being an American to being a citizen of the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. It is not my American passport that I travel on when I come to Africa. If it was my American passport, I would be a dead man. Dead man, do you hear me? Dead man. Hallelujah. I don't come as an ambassador of the USA. Hallelujah. I come as an ambassador of a heavenly kingdom. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Amen. Bringing to you a message of hope. Bringing to you a message of deliverance. The deliverance and the hope. It is your responsibility, not mine. When Gabriel came.
Gabriel.
When he came to Mary with the message of the intent of God concerning her, his responsibility was to deliver the message. Mary had a responsibility. If Mary had not have believed, if Mary had not have submitted herself to the word of God that was brought to her, she would not have conceived. Do you understand me? God did not move and force or coerce Mary to become pregnant with Christ. Hallelujah. It took the submission of Mary's will. Hallelujah. Be it as unto me according to thy word. Hallelujah. The message was done. The angel departed. His job was finished. Hallelujah. His job was finished. Hallelujah. Amen. You have a responsibility. If you do not have a hunger for God, there's nothing that God can do for you. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst, for they shall be filled. I can go to God and say, God, I don't have a hunger for you. I'm not really thirsting after you. But I see it in the Word, and there is a need that I have it. I'm asking you, God, do give it to me. Hallelujah. Give it to me. Let me have the hunger. Let me have the thirsting. And God will create the environment that will make you hungry. God will create the environment that will make you thirsty. Hallelujah. And in the midst of that environment, you begin to cry out to God for a greater reality, a greater a sense of His presence, and you will be filled. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
How hungry are you? How thirsty are you? Hallelujah. How great is your need for God? You know, if I'm satisfied with my condition, brethren, I don't mean I need more money. I don't mean that I need a new car. I don't mean that I need new clothes. I mean that am I satisfied with what I have of God? Hallelujah! Am I satisfied with the knowledge that I possess of God? Hallelujah! My answer has to be no. I want more of Him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, I am a father. I have 7 children. I have many grandchildren from the ages of 17 down to about 6 months. Hallelujah. And I'm not teaching my children or my grandchildren how to follow in the footsteps of their grandfather or their father. I want them to be separated from that heritage. But the only way that they can be separated from that heritage is if they have something to replace it with. Hallelujah. And they have to replace it with God. Hallelujah. And it's a lot of work. And sometimes it's frustrating work. And sometimes it's despairing work. Hallelujah. One time, Many years ago, my family was in crisis. The devil had come after it to destroy it. And in the midst of that destruction, God brought a word to me. And he says, I want you to go to India. I said, God, I can't go to India. You see the condition of my family. You see the need that I have to be here. The need for my children, for my supervision and oversight, and the provision that I have. Hallelujah. And in the course of events, I'm not going to go through the whole thing. It came down to the line of demarcation. I had to make a decision. And I got a call from an older brother. He was my teacher in the Lord. And he said, Brother Bert, I need an answer from you. Do you go to India or do you stay home? I said to brother, I will call you in the morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That night was a night of prayer. And it wasn't, Lord, make me willing. It was telling God all the reasons why I couldn't go. Crying, moaning, groaning, flagging the bed with my fists, down on my face on the floor, wringing my hands. Hallelujah. All to no avail. Hallelujah. It says a broken and a contrite heart is an offering that God does not despise. I had made up my mind not to go. Hallelujah. Made up my mind, and I cannot explain to you the turmoil and the rending of my soul when I made that decision, because I knew I was going contrary to the will of God. But my children, the familiarity of my home, my sense of self-worth and my ability to provide, hallelujah, and my inability to believe God. Hallelujah. And as I sat down on the bed to make that call, what God was after the whole night began to happen, and I began just to weep. And I began to weep and weep. Tears were flowing. God came into my room. He sat down on my bed. He put his arm around me like this. And he said, Brother Bert, if you go to India, I will do for you what you cannot do for your children. Hallelujah! Hallelujah. I don't know what you would have done, but I went to India. And you know something? God has kept his promise. God has kept his promise to me. Nine o'clock at night, the night before I left, I got a call from one of my sons. And he had done something very stupid. And the consequences were very great. And he found himself in a lot of hot water. My bags are packed.
Sorry?
My bags are packed. It's 9 o'clock in the night. I'm leaving at 4 in the morning. Now I know you probably will just went to bed. went to sleep and got up. But I could not sleep. I wrestled with it all night long. But there was no other thing I could do, you understand. I had made a commitment to God. Hallelujah. And I have not been home since. But God is dealing in the situation, dealing with him, and taking care of it even though I am not there. Hallelujah! If you do for God what God wants you to do, then what you cannot do, physically, mentally, emotionally, financially, hallelujah, God will do it for you. But you have to have an ability to believe God. No. Let me change that. You have to have a willingness and a want to believe God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The centurion came to Jesus Christ for the sake of his servant. What the centurion did was a humbling thing. He was a man of power. He was a man that should be indifferent. He was a hardened soldier. And it wasn't one of his family, it was one of his servants. Hallelujah! But he humbled himself and he went to Christ for the man's deliverance, the man's healing. Hallelujah. And the commendation of that man when it was all said and done, that he had not seen so great a faith in all of Israel. Hallelujah.
Amen.
We have the baptism. There was no blood of Jesus then. There was no baptism of Holy Spirit then. Just the want to. Didn't even have what it took to believe. Just had the want to. He had a servant that he wanted to see healed. Greater than his pride, greater than his position, greater than his place of preeminence. And he achieved the objective. Hallelujah.
Amen.
What is it that you are going to do with what little bit of God that you have? Are you going to take it and bury it in the dirt? Or are you going to be like the others that took it and invested it into God? Is it going to be, well done, thy good and faithful servant? Or is it going to be, take what is his and give it to those that have? It's your decision to make. It's your accountability and responsibility. And you will never be able to blame it on something or somebody else. Hallelujah. God bless you.
How many are blessed?
I pray that the Holy Spirit will bring it more understanding.
This is what we want to come to sing out
in our lives. That's my prayer.
Yes, sir.
And I may rush to understand what the Lord is saying.
Just get something like 2 or 3 questions.
That you can be blessed with those questions.
Oh my God.
Do you have any question you want to give, get more light on any question you want to ask? We learn by discussion, we learn by questions, we learn by getting some questions.
Praise the Lord.